The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gate. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy and precious God, keep us awake through your Holy Spirit to the power of your kingdom at work in this world and at work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beware. The end is near. It's coming. Do something. What? What do we do? The end is near. The prophets are running up and down the streets. I remember when we lived in St. Paul, there was this man who walked up and down the viaduct every day. He had a great big sign that said, "Beware, the end is near." Now that was 30 years ago. And I think my daughter says she's seen him there too. Yeah. We get this fascination. As God's people, we get fascinated with the end of time. And I think we really want to know when the end is coming. We get so hung up on when is the end coming. We start looking for the signs. We start looking for the things. And we get caught up in this whole vision of the end of time. And if you turn on your TV, you can find plenty of TV preachers who will tell you when the end is coming. Or has come, because usually they miss the date. I do remember my senior year of seminary, someone put out a book called Oil Armageddon in the Middle East and predicted a date in September of 1991 that the end would come. The book was 1295. The day after the end was to come and didn't, it was 99 cents. You know, I think part of it is we get fascinated about the end because we want to know, we want to be in control, we don't want to be surprised. How many of us like surprises? Yeah, nobody likes a surprise. And I think part of this whole stars are falling and everything's going on and people looking for signs of the end of time is our own desire to be in control of our lives and in our world. Because I like to be in control. I like to know what's going to happen when. I like to make sure that I have some control. How many of you like to be in control? Hey, thank you. And I'm glad you're being interactive today. But as I think about it, I think part of this whole kingdom of God, this whole end of time, this whole season of Advent, this season of preparation, is something about the kingdom of God. Because as I think about the kingdom of God, One of the things that I've come to realize is that the kingdom of God is not necessarily something pleasant and passive. It's not something pleasant. God's kingdom in the world changes the world. And how many of us like change? Yeah, that's what I thought. But it's also not passive. Because as God's kingdom continues to be unleashed in the world, things happen. Things happen to us and to the world. And I think all this talk about the end, all this talk about the kingdom of God is hung up on the idea that we have to remember that the kingdom of God is something that is active in the world and changing the world. And that's so important. Because again, we don't like change. We just don't. We're creatures of habit. As I've come back to worship more and more, somebody's got my seat. When I was here for 4 years, I had my seat. And now somebody, I don't like that. Yeah. Yeah, and how many of you have an assigned seat in worship here? Yeah. We don't like change. But when we think about God's kingdom, it's something that we struggle with. And the first thing I want to say about God's kingdom I stole from Martin Luther. Because we pray every Sunday, and many of us pray in the morning or in the evening, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We pray for God's kingdom to come. But what Luther reminds us is that God's kingdom comes without our prayer. But as we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask that it may also come to us. It's a prayer asking us to be included in God's kingdom, and not as much included, but to be able to see the kingdom of God at work in the world. And this is where the kingdom gets interesting. Because think about Christmas morning. Think about the gifts under the tree. Think about the time before gift bags, because we've gotten kind of lazy with gift bags. You wrap up the present, you wrap up the box, you tape it, it's beautiful, there's no loose edges, you might put a bow on it, you might put a ribbon on it, and you've got this beautiful present. And when the kids, because adults are neat, when the kids come down on Christmas morning, what do? They rip! They shred that paper, and then if you've got a dog, the dog is dragging it all over the house with the cats. That paper gets ripped to shreds. Can you ever put that paper back the way it was? No, you can't. You can't. As much as you want to, you can't restore that paper to the way it was. And that's how the kingdom of God breaks into our world. Isaiah, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains may quake at your presence. That is not a pretty picture. That is God splitting the heavens apart and coming down. It's what happens in the beginning of Mark when Jesus is baptized. In a couple of weeks, we'll hear the story of Mark, of John baptizing Jesus. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." In Jesus' baptism, God revealed Jesus as God's Son. But again, the heavens were torn open. Things were changed. Because when something is torn in that way, it can never go back to the way it was. And the same thing happens in the Gospel of Mark at Jesus' death. As he's on the cross, as he breathes his last, the centurion, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was God's Son." At Jesus' death, the world was changed forever. for us and for everyone. And as we get into this season of Advent, as we start to talk about the kingdom of God among us, as we start to talk about the kingdom of God coming again, as we look at what it means to be God's kingdom people, I think the message that comes out of Mark today is to be awake. Be awake. Be awake. People don't sleep during my sermons. A little bit too loud. But be awake. And what are we as God's people to be awake for? I think the first thing is we are to be awake for places where the kingdom of God is present in our midst and in our world, in places where the kingdom is happening, in places where God's justice is done, in places where people are working for peace, where they're feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, where they're visiting the sick, visiting those in prison. I think part of the be awake is for us to be awake and aware of where people are doing God's kingdom work in the world. Because a lot of times we don't see it. And it's so important to see where the kingdom of God is at work in the world, because there are those who tell us it's not at work. There are those who tell us the world is bad. There are those who tell us that things aren't happening. But I think the first part of the be awake is to be awake and aware of where God's kingdom is happening in the world. And I think the second be awake is to look for the places where we, as a congregation, as a community of saints, gather, as the people of God, as the subject of God's kingdom. Be aware of the places where we are doing God's kingdom work in the world. Because have you ever taken an inventory? Have you ever taken a step back and looked? There's one place, and it hasn't fallen over yet, where we're doing God's kingdom work in the world. Symbolically, metaphorically, really, we are bringing warmth to those in need. That's doing God's kingdom work in the world. If you go outside and you look, there's cakes lined up, waiting to be baked for the students at GHS North. A cake to a student in need is doing God's kingdom work in the world. If you go out and look, the shelves on the food pantry are a little bit bare. We've been getting hit pretty hard. But before the next time we need food, those shelves will fill up again. It's almost like magic. No, it's not magic. It's God's people, it's us doing God's kingdom work in the world. And I think the second place that God calls us to be awake is to be awake and to look for the places where we are doing God's kingdom work in the world. Because it's important to know and to acknowledge that we do kingdom work. We do things that build up the body of Christ. We do things that build up God's kingdom among us. We do so many things that bring God's presence to us and to one another. And I think we need to remember always to acknowledge that, to give thanks, and to remember that we are active in the world. And finally, I think that the last be awake is maybe the toughest. Because I think God calls us to be awake to where God's kingdom is active, where we're doing kingdom work. But God finally, I think, calls us to be awake for places where the kingdom work still needs to be done. And that is an important thing to remember. We know that God's kingdom is here. We know that God's kingdom has come. We know that it's not fully realized. We know that when it's fully realized, God will defeat the powers of sin, death, and the devil. But it hasn't happened yet. As Lutherans, we live in the already of God's kingdom, but the not yet of it being fulfilled. And so we need to continue to look at places where kingdom work needs to be done in the world. They're easy. or hard to find. But they are places where there is not equality across the races, across the genders. They are places where sexual orientation is not lifted up as a gift from God, but is denounced. They are places where there is injustice in any way. They are places where equality is not for all. They are places where people are hungry or homeless or naked. These are places where the kingdom work still needs to be done. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we are doing God's kingdom work here at First Lutheran in Galesburg. We are messengers of God's love in the world. We are awake. But because God loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, to forgive us all our sins and to give us life everlasting, continue to be vigilant, continue to stay awake, and continue to find ways to engage in God's kingdom work. Because we are doing it, we can do it, and we will do it for the sake of the one who loves us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.